What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have, like, a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Russell Westbrook is off to Houston.
It's going to be scary. Not for us.
No! James Harden just caught a body here in Los Angeles.
And Westbrook is on the freeway.
What's up, guys? Welcome to this news podcast. My name is Salman Ali, at Salman Ali NBA on Twitter. You're joined by Forrest Walker, at Do Nots on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm pretty good. Just got back to Austin for my trip to Houston for the holidays, so.
Yeah, visiting Houston always makes me feel better. It certainly does. But this is take two of the podcast. Take one was interrupted by this freaking fly. It's 1:30 in the morning. I don't want to edit the podcast that much, so we're doing a take two since we didn't record that much. Let's go ahead and get some news before we get into the rest of the podcast. Chris Clemens signed a new contract today for 3 years, a minimum deal that's going to be prorated for the rest of the season. Second year is non-guaranteed, and the third year is also non-guaranteed. So the Rockets left themselves a lot of assurances. I think this is a kind of a no-brainer. He was running out of two-way days with the roster, and he's just a good three-point shooter, nice guy to have in your development system. He's not going to get much playing time with Eric Gordon coming back. Yeah, there's just too many quality players in front of him, like James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Austin Rivers, and when Eric Gordon comes back, there's just going to be no, like, even Ben McLemore is taking some of those minutes. Like, there's just no daylight for him in the rotation right now. But as we learned with Clint Capella in 2014, you can never have too many quality players at one position. You never know what's going to happen. And this was a nice player to keep.
Yeah, he's definitely earned this. He plays hard every game, and he's a gunner. And this is also about the fewest dollars you're ever going to see on a three-year contract. So there's really no downside here. It's nice to see them lock up one of these guys for the rest of the season and not have any kind of ongoing drama with two-way days.
Yeah, like last year with Daniel House, that was long. That was long. Clemens is averaging 21 points per 36 minutes on 59.4% true shooting. That's really good. Obviously, that's per 36 minutes, so please take that with a grain of salt. He's shooting 39.1% from 3-point range. He's just an absolute gunner. That's like he's really, really good at shooting. He's just like in summer league, he would just pull up every single time he passed half court. Took really, really good advantage of his opportunity and earned some minutes in the regular season because of that. Really proud of this kid. He's really good. He's earned every bit of this contract and any sort of success that comes his way in the future.
It's great news.
Yeah. Some other news. Eric Gordon is on set to return before the new year is out. A lot of us thought he was going to return around Christmas Day. I had a suspicion that he might return on Christmas Day. He did not return on Christmas Day, but I suspect he will return before the new year is out. I would be surprised if he does not return in 2019. That is good news for the Rockets in general. We have a lot of questions about Eric Gordon, but your thoughts before we get to them.
It'll be good to see him back again. It kind of feels like it's been forever since he's been in Rockets uniform. We've almost forgotten what it's like when he's there. When that prompted me to look up the schedule, there are 5 days left this year, but there's 3 games left so far. So that's a lot of chances for him to come back, and I am excited to see what he does now that his knee works.
Yeah, he did struggle a lot at the beginning of the season. So the Rockets were cautious with him. I think the original timeline was 4 to 6 weeks, and they went all the way to the 6-week mark, and they should. I mean, he looked really bad in the beginning of the season, and no one knew that he had this ailment. The story was Mike D'Antoni came up to us out of practice and just told us this guy just got surgery today, and nobody had any idea that there was anything wrong with him. Like he had a scope done. Apparently, that knee had been bothering him for about a year and a half or something. Like it was like some ridiculously large amount of time that no one had any idea about. Surprisingly, it never leaked. But he got that taken care of, and he will be returning soon. Should help Houston's rotation. So we are doing a mailbag today. I just noticed that a lot of my podcasts on my player had a holiday mailbag out. So you know how much I love cliches. I love cliches. Like I am someone who goes with the grain if I have the option to. I love Fast and Furious movies, and I love cliches. I think anyone who's trying to be a contrarian and not do a holiday mailbag around this time is just being a for the sake of being a Holiday mailbags are awesome. So, first question from Jonathan Madhouse at Jonas_XV. With Gordon coming back soon, what do you think the Rockets need the most? Another 3-and-D player? Jay Crowder, Morris, etc.? Or do they need a more serviceable backup center? I know they have 4 centers in their roster, but only Capella brings it on most nights. Or perhaps both. So, I tend to think that the Rockets should probably evaluate what they need after they see what Eric Gordon looks like and how the rotation looks like with him. I mean, just looking at the roster without Eric Gordon on it, it seems pretty clear that they need a wing that can play forward positions. That they need someone with some size, like preferably someone who's 6'7 or above that can defend and shoot threes and play 3, 4, and 5.
So what you're saying is they need another PJ Tucker or as close a facsimile as possible.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I mean, that's more or less taking the both option that we were given, but that's a good option. You know, you want to have that, like, small ball lineup center type guy that P.J. Tucker can provide, because you can play that player in at the center in a pinch or just when the lineup necessitates it. And you also have someone else who can spell the other guys and defend out on the perimeter. So I think that would be fantastic. That kind of forward tweener type guy would be excellent, but you know they're in short supply, so we got to figure out where to find one first.
Yeah, and to kind of back up what I'm saying, at 3, 4, 5, it's pretty hard to find someone to trust on this roster outside of Daniel House, Clint Capella, and PJ Tucker. Those are 3 guys for 3 positions. You need 3 backups there, right? Like you need someone like other than Gary Clark or Tyson Chandler that could back up. That could back up these guys with quality minutes, and I'm not sure if there's anybody that I would trust outside of their core rotation to play those kind of minutes. So that's why they've been playing a lot of small ball with James Harden and PJ Tucker playing some of the bigger minutes at some of the bigger positions. Excuse me. Yeah, they just need someone who can play those positions competently. Like it's nice that they have a good starting lineup, but you need like a good power forward. You need a beefy power forward.
Yeah, I know when Eric Gordon does come back, though, I think we've seen them do it before, where Russ and Eric Gordon will be the 1 and 2, and then you have James Harden at like the kind of the 3 or the 4. So that will help in a way to like move everyone down the line a little bit. But yeah, they need size. They need guys with long wingspans who can defend at the perimeter and grab some rebounds. And I guess we're going to find out soon who they can pick up.
Again, like I've said it before multiple times in this podcast, they just need a strong defender. They really do. They need another strong defender that can get them to a top 10 defense. Who knows how much Gordon will help their defense. I'm sure it'll help some that you'll get someone who's a competent defender playing more minutes and people who are not competent defenders playing less minutes, like i.e. Russell Westbrook and Ben McLemore. Those guys will get their minutes reduced a little bit, and Gordon will take some of those. So I'm sure that'll help a little bit. I'm not sure if that's going to get them from 16th in defense to like 10. And that's kind of the jump they need to make. They need to add someone that can get them from 16 to like 10 in defense.
Well, do you think that this would reduce the minutes of Westbrook, Harden, and Tucker?
What, with Gordon returning?
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%. Like that, like that's definitely one of the benefits of Gordon returning. Like Harden's just been playing way too many minutes, and it's definitely going to help with the trapping. Like we know that for sure. Like teams are going to trap less with more quality shooting on the floor, and I'm not sure if guys like Ben McLemore or Austin Rivers demand the same level of respect. Actually, we know that they're not going to demand the same level of respect as shooters versus Eric Gordon. Okay, from Clutch City at Jordan versus Dream. Why won't Mike D'Antoni create a strong second unit like Russ, Rivers, Eric Gordon, Ben McLemore, Thabo, Tyson Chandler, and Clark? This is a really confusing question, by the way. I don't really know what this is asking.
I mean, there's a good reason why he's not playing Eric Gordon. That much I can put out there.
And as far as, like, the other guys, like, that's not exactly strong. Like, I know McLemore is playing much better than a lot of people expected. But, I mean, you're looking at guys like Thabo, Chandler, Clark. Like, these... Like Thabo and Chandler are just too old and don't play very much, and those are guys that you play like in certain matchups. They're very much break in case of emergency kind of players.
Backups.
Yeah, yeah. Like they're guys you like to have on the roster, maybe not guys you'd like on the rotation. And Rivers is strong. Russ is obviously strong. Eric Gordon is strong. Like after that, it gets really. That's why the Rockets have been kind of shallow this year. They need some bench depth to play those forward positions. Yeah, I mean, as far as buyout guys are concerned, Jay Crowder is an option that I think will probably get bought out this season. I mean, there are Marvin Williams is an option for Charlotte. Like, I think he's probably going to get bought out. There are guys to be had on the buyout market. My question is there someone, you know, Andre Iguodala, obviously, if he does not get traded, he will get bought out. My question is there anyone on the buyout market that will, like, dramatically improve Houston's defensive ceiling?
I mean, you know, the obvious answer, as always, is Iguodala will be a pretty big help, but that's a long shot, and we all need to accept that and more or less move on until evidence points otherwise. I mean, there's some guys that could be pretty good, right? Like, there's... Who knows what the Nets will do with their roster? You know, like Wilson Chandler's out there. I don't think they'll buy him out, but who knows? You could always be surprised by guys like that. But yeah, the guys that are out there might get bought out are kind of out there for a reason, right? Like if someone's making under, you know, if someone's making not a ton of money, enough that the team might buy them out for, they're probably not that huge of a difference maker, and the Rockets need a difference maker, or at least they're hoping for one. So, yeah, I don't think there's anybody who will transform their defense, but maybe some guys who can shore it up a bit.
Yeah, I guess if you really want names, like the three we just mentioned, Marvin Williams, Andre Iguodala, and Jay Crowder, those are the three most likely kind of buyout guys I could see the Rockets targeting. No guarantee that they can get any of those guys, but those guys would definitely help, right? Those guys would definitely help use this rotation. Let's move on to another question. Okay, from at Norman Tanaka, do we need a backup center, or is Hardenstein going to get some run? Hardenstein's probably not going to get some run in terms of playoff real rotation minutes or even later in the season. I don't see him playing much. Like he's another guy that I just don't think is very good. I love Isaiah Hardenstein. He hustles like crazy. I love watching him play in terms of getting offensive boards. Defensively, he's kind of slow footed. Doesn't have the best hands for catching lob passes. Offensively, he's very limited. Like he's just not very good. So Tyson Chandler is pretty much all you have. PJ Tucker is going to play some backup center. That's kind of why we're talking about someone who can play 3, 4, and 5, right? Because they don't really have a backup center option. So yeah, they could use a backup center, but if they're going to go out on the market and get someone, I would prefer they target someone that's not exclusively a center. Someone who's a little bit more versatile and can play some center minutes is much more useful in a playoff setting, especially in the Western Conference.
Hey, for what it's worth, though, I think Isaiah Hartenstein will get plenty of playing time and playoff burn in the G League.
Yeah. Also from Norman Tanaka, what are your thoughts on the recent unverifiable trade rumors on Russ, which was mentioned on Russillo's podcast? Just fake news? So we got a couple of questions like this. To be honest, I had no idea what was going on until a couple hours ago when these questions started coming in. Apparently, Ryan Russillo said on his podcast something along the lines of Russell Westbrook possibly being available, and that Maury's not necessarily facilitating this, but he is listening. I don't think this is true. I don't think Russell Westbrook is available for the next 6 months at the very minimum. Unless something goes very sideways, Russ is going to be a Rocket for the foreseeable future. I'm not going to say he's going to play out his contract. I'm not going to give that kind of a guarantee, but I would say he's going to play out the season and more than likely finish next summer with the team. I don't see any reason why they would trade him at this point. I know he drives a lot of people crazy. I don't think the Rockets have gotten to that point yet.
Yeah, that would probably cause a lot of drama. At the very minimum, that's a huge move for a guy that just got here. I'll say this, though. I mean, I'd be surprised if Daryl Morey was, like, deleting emails without reading them, right? Like, if someone gives him a trade offer, I'm sure he'll at least do them the courtesy of hearing what the offer is before declining. So I would be surprised if Daryl Morey ever is just like, no, I don't want to hear it. I'm sure he'll listen to a trade offer for James Harden if he doesn't want to make one, but that didn't mean he's going to do anything about it.
Yeah, and now is a good time, as ever, for me to plug my NBA Newsbreakers list that I posted on Twitter every year around trade season. There are 12 people who really break news in the NBA. That's gospel. Like, that's just the way it is. Like, 12 people know 90% of everything there is to know about the NBA in terms of behind the scenes and trade rumors and buyout stuff and, like, all the free agency stuff you need to know. 12 people know all of that, and that's all you need. Like, guys like Russillo, yes, they hear stuff. Like, we all hear stuff. We're like, 12 people are, like, there's only 12 people that really report stuff. And I would caution you guys to venture outside of those 12 people. Because, like, you're going to hear a lot of noise. You're going to drive yourself crazy if you're listening to some dude who's on the radio in Utah, right? Like, just giving you trade rumors, right? Like that's you can't follow everything.
Yeah, it is a whiff of smoke at best until, like you said, one of those Big 12 reporters says something more substantial.
Yep. Another question asked to us several times in several different forms from Brett Jeff Green question mark. No. No, absolutely not. Jeff Green is never the
Solomon,
answer to any question you have, ever. And this is just like I'm so surprised this is still happening.
So many teams have tried Jeff Green.
This is so cyclical. It's not even funny anymore or amusing. It's like Jeff Green's available. Team thinks they're getting him for cheap. They join the team that they think they can fix all of his problems. They think there's a lot of raw tools here. We can optimize him. He lands on the team, and look what happens. He's available again. And he's available again for cheap. Process starts all over again. Like, there's a reason Jeff Green is always available, and it always feels like it's too good to be true. Because it is too good to be true. He is not good. He is not a good NBA player. It's the harsh truth. There are guys in the NBA that get recycled like this all the time. Jeff Green's one of them. He's not good.
Yeah, he's a guy who should have put it together a lot of times, but he never did. So, hey, but maybe for our team it'll be different.
It's from Sean Muhammad at Sean M 1210. How much better would the Rockets be if D'Antoni spread minutes around more, or if we had another coach? Any potentials? Guys, Mike D'Antoni's really good at his job, and you're not gonna see me contradict that at all. Like, he's really good at his job. I know the fan base has turned on him, but I'm telling you, if he were fired tomorrow, he would be the hottest free agent on the market in terms of coaches. Like, he's really good. Like, I know he hasn't won an NBA championship. I know this offense looks really simple, and it seems like anybody could do it if you had James Harden. No. He's really good at getting players to buy in to fit specific roles. He's really good at forming elite offenses, and it's not easy to do that, like, especially as consistently as he's done that. Like, I think there's a stat about him being top three in offense for, like, 8 years out of his career or something. Like, it's ridiculous. He's just so consistently really good. He's made, like, three Western Conference Finals. You know how we always talk about luck going your way in the playoffs? Luck has so consistently gone against him in the playoffs. Like, injuries, suspensions, all that have contributed to him not making an NBA Finals, not anything to do with his coaching. Not to say that he's a perfect coach. Obviously, he runs a really shallow rotation. He has his warts as a defensive practitioner, but he is still very, very good. I would say he's still, if not in the upper echelon of NBA coaches, in that second tier. And when you're in that second tier, it's really hard to upgrade, especially when you're at the top of that second tier. Like, if you fire him today, there's like a 70% chance, like probably 80% likelihood, you're not going to upgrade.
I feel like we have this conversation every episode. And the reality is, if you fire Mike D'Antoni, the team is going to be worse tomorrow than it was before. And
yeah, especially if you do it in season. That's all there is to it. Especially if you do it in season. Yeah. The tides have shifted so far against Mike D'Antoni with the fans. It is crazy how much people want him fired. It is crazy.
Well, coaches get stale after 5 years, at least with the fans.
Well, I think it's more so that he hasn't won a championship yet, right? And, like, the offense looks so simple that it feels like anybody could do it. No. Like, it takes a certain level of buy-in to get players to play like this. I know this from speaking to the players. Like they wouldn't be doing this if Mike wasn't the person selling them on it. Like, I can say that with pretty good authority. That Mike D'Antoni is the reason they like playing this way. And again, like, if he were to get fired tomorrow, even in the offseason, if you were to get fired tomorrow, like, the chances that you upgrade from him are so slim. The fact that the Rockets haven't extended him is a pretty big blight that we probably haven't talked about enough. But yeah, I just this is a really infuriating conversation. We had this on the last podcast, and I literally deleted 20 minutes of us talking about it. I cut that from the podcast. Like last week's podcast was 20 minutes longer, and I cut it out. Forrest and I had a really animated conversation about this, about Mike D'Antoni, and I cut out 20 minutes because it was just too much. It was just too much. It was too preachy. It sounded kind of condescending on playback, but I don't know how else to talk about this without being condescending. Because I don't know how else to explain that he's really good at his job. He just is. He's really good at his job. I mean, you don't win 50-plus games this consistently and get to the highest levels in your conference this consistently without being really good at your job. That's it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of coming on here every week and talking about it.
Okay, let's sign Jeff Green.
Do you have anything else to talk about before we end here? I think Russ is a pretty good talking point before we head out.
Yeah. Let's do a requisite Russ.
Yeah. So Russ has been very good in the month of December. Like, there's no excusing that. And then he had this game on Christmas Day where he scored 30 points on 32 shots. And he was really bad. He missed a ton of mid-range jumpers. He got to the rim and missed a lot of layups.
How many threes did he take?
I don't know.
It was eight. Do you want to know how many threes he hit?
I'm going to guess zero.
Yeah, it was zero.
With Russ, it is usually like this. It's so I'm sure Rockets fans aren't used to this because they're used to the consistency of Chris Paul. But with Russ, it's usually three or four awesome games in a row, and then a game like this. And this is the Russ roller coaster. This is how it is. You're gonna get awesome nights, where he may not be the most efficient, but he's impacting the game in several different ways. And then you're going to get games like this. I guess a lot of people expected that he was turning the corner and that he suddenly wouldn't have good games anymore, because he had that 7-game streak of like 59% true shooting, and he was like scoring like 30 points per game. Yeah, I mean, he's probably not a 59% true shooting kind of guy. And he's also not like a 50% true shooting kind of guy. The truth is somewhere in the middle. He hasn't gotten to that middle, and that's probably why it's so frustrating for a lot of fans. If he could get back to where he was 2 or 3 years ago in terms of efficiency, I'm sure there would be less noise about this, right?
Yeah, well, like you said, he turned the corner, and with Russ, there's always another corner, and you don't know when he's going to get there. It's hard to deal with, right? You have no clue what you're going to get from game to game. That, yeah, he can look great for a while, and you know, he's definitely played better since getting his fingers on tape. But how many games do you think he's going to be horrible from? Have these horrible shooting nights? What do you think?
He's probably going to have like 20 of these games this season. I mean, to be honest, like at least 20. This is just the experience, man. Like this is the way it is. This is how it was when Kevin Durant was at his peak in Oklahoma City. Like this is how it is with Russell Westbrook. And that's not to say that he's not a very good player and that he doesn't impact the game in a positive way most of the time. But some of the times you're gonna get games like that.
Yeah, the average is pretty good, but the variance is very high.
Well, here's a question for you. He's shooting 50.8% true shooting right now. Do you expect that to stay the same, or do you expect that to climb? Because last season he was shooting 50.1% true shooting, and that was a career low. So do you expect him to just be that kind of player for the rest of his career, or do you expect him to get back to shooting 52.4 or 55.4 or some of the other true shooting percentages that he had throughout his career, or do you expect him to be just bad?
Oh, man, that's a hard question. He's going to decline, so it's not probably going to get better, but the question really is, was last year an outlier year, or is this a trend, right? Like, is he going to get back to closer to his career average in general? I think he'll probably be a little better than that, but weirdly, his shot selection, you know, here in Houston, he's one of the only guys shooting mid-rangers, and also he's horrendous at catch-and-shoot threes. So he's being given shots that, like, he has the opportunity to take high-percentage shots, but they're either not high-percentage for him, or he's taking other shots that are not high-percentage. So it's, man, that's hard to say. I'll just go ahead and be a pessimist and guess that he's going to kind of sit here for a while.
I think he'll get to like 52. I think that'll be the extent of his bounce back. He's at 50.8. I think he'll get to like 52% true shooting. That may not be what a lot of fans were looking for when the Rockets acquired him. I think a lot of people expected him to have a bounce back season this year. But I tend to believe there has been some regression, as well as some flukish stuff that happened last season.
Yeah, it is. He was weirdly bad, but he's a chaos. He's an engine of chaos, and you have to take the good with the bad when you're doing that. He is variance incarnate. All he does with this Rockets team that already relies on highly variant three-pointers is to make it even more volatile. So, you never know what you're going to get from that tonight, and I guess that's kind of exciting, but it's less exciting if you really need to be winning these basketball games. Well, in fairness to Russ regarding the last game, everybody on that team not named James Harden or Daniel House had no idea where the rim was at all, so maybe he'll bounce back with everybody else.
Yeah, we will see. We will see. Until then, subscribe to the Ranch Shoes Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Follow me on Twitter at SomileyNBA. Follow Forrest on Twitter at DoNots. Go check out our awesome podcast at the Blue Wire Podcast Network. And yeah, guys, good night.